Well, I'm excited to be back and talking about sharing our faith and this session. I've missed the last couple of weeks. I listened in and watched as Pastor Brian led both of these. I'm really thankful. I just love this material, and I think it's so helpful and so important for us as a church, but I'm anxious to get back and talk about these things that we're going to share again here tonight. Let me give you a little bit of a review as we start. We've had a couple of goals right at the beginning. Goal number one was to help each participant gain a growing excitement for how God can use you and prepare you to impact the lives of others for eternity. And I hope that there's sort of a building momentum that takes place as we are participating together in this seminar. Again, I know this is a little bit different than what we do on a Sunday night. In fact, I think it would be ideal to do this in a smaller setting, in a different place where we could have some breakout groups. I'm going to tell you about that here at the end. But I think it's great to be able to, like this one time, have our whole church talk through this and think through this, and we'd really love to see praying that God would allow us to have this growing excitement, not just for our church, but for you individually. And then goal number two is that we'd be able to equip each participant with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively communicate our faith. And I really believe that that if you hang in here with these eight sessions, that this will be a tremendous help to you, give you some tips, some hints, some foundation, really, for, just a way, a comfort level that you'd be able to tell others about what God has done in your life. So we're in session number four tonight, the last couple of sessions. Session number one was Why Become a Contagious Christian? We talked about this idea of just this contagiousness, that our lives would be so alive and so vibrant that we would, just kind of rub off on others. In session number two, we talked about being yourself, and it was fun listening in on that, and Pastor Brian told me just a lot of interaction that he's had with many of you that was that sort of some light bulbs going on with that idea, and if I can just come back to it just for a minute, I think the Bible tells us pretty clearly that there's a number of different ways that God has designed each one of us. And we can be very comfortable in utilizing the gifts and the DNA and the personality and the skills and the comfort level that God gave us in sharing our faith. And so we talked through five different, sort of evangelism styles that are natural to your God-given personality. We talked about confrontational. Think Peter. Peter would maybe be the poster boy for confrontational, and God used him so effectively, and that's the way he was wired. We talked about intellectual. Think Paul and about the book of Romans. I mean, Romans is really an intellectual approach to the gospel and clarifying many different questions. We talked about testimonial, and think about the blind man. He said, when asked about his faith and asked about Jesus, he said, I don't really know what to tell you. All I know is that once I was blind and now I see. This is my story. And God used that very simple testimony of the blind man. We talked about interpersonal, and we'd think about somebody like Matthew. And I think Pastor Brian talked about Matthew parties, but really the idea is connecting people that I know that may not know Christ with other friends that I know that do, and using relationships in order to try to be effective in reaching people. And then we talked about invitational, and think about the Samaritan woman at the well. We talked about that this morning. After she received Christ, she went back into the city, and she said, "Come meet this person who told me everything that I've done. Come meet him." And this invitational part. So, as we were talking about these five things, Pastor Brian reminded you, and I just affirmed this, that we, most of us probably are kind of wired in a couple different ways. You'll feel comfortable with a couple of things, and maybe all five of them at different times. I think the main point that we want you to know, that I want you to know, is that God has wired us differently. And I think we are more effective if we really focus on kind of the way that God wired me and allow that then to form itself in some effectiveness, to think through carefully, how can I be more effective in this way, rather than just taking on maybe a, you know, sort of a cookie cutter approach that we may have been taught along the way. Now, we're going to talk about some specific things and some tools and some transitions that will help you, but really this main idea is that God's designed you, and so let's use exactly the way God's designed you in our desires to tell the good news to the people around us. So that was session number two, being yourself, and then session number three, it was about building relationships, how to build authentic relationships, how to start spiritual conversations. And that brings us to tonight and session four, when I want to talk about what's your story. And specifically, I want to help you. In fact, this is going to be very practical this evening. I'd like to help you develop your story in a way that can be just common and very familiar to you to be able to share with other people. And really thinking through what ways God could use that in its most effective form in conversations with other people. So we're going to talk through that. What's your story? Before we're done, we'll talk about, next week, we'll talk about what's God's story. This is really just the foundation of the gospel. What is the gospel? What are the foundational elements that we need to know and understand clearly in order to share what God has done with others? We'll talk about session six, crossing the line, session seven, putting it together, and session eight, just some objections, just some common questions and objections that you'll run into as you talk with other people. So, a little bit of an overview of where we're going here in this one. Session four, what's your story? Last session, we focused on that, on just sort of learning some practical ways that we can build relationships and we can start spiritual conversations with the people that we're trying to reach for Christ. Tonight, we want to look at learning to better communicate what Christ has done for us once we've started those conversations. All right, so once we can get past that hurdle. By the way, I'm going to come back to this at some point, but I was thinking about it this week, and I don't know, I didn't hear it talked about before. You should know that in your desire to share your faith with other people and in sort of bridging the gap from generic conversation about whatever, family, sports, weather, the news, you know, the generic conversation, to having a spiritual conversation, there's almost always a little bit of awkwardness. And you have to just persevere through that. And if you back away in fear from that awkwardness, it's unlikely that you'll have the courage to push through and share your faith. So I want to talk through, we're trying to talk through the fact that this should be just a natural outflow, a natural overflow of who you are. I'd really like to take away some of the awkwardness so that we just feel more natural. I've said this before. Your unsaved friends and family and neighbors, they talk about spiritual things. They just don't often talk about them with Christians because Christians get weird about it. It gets kind of awkward. So I want to try to take away some of that, but I also want you to know there is still going to be, and I think many people that have shared their faith often will know, I mean, even for me, at that kind of moment where I've got to bridge that gap and I sense that God's leading us and this conversation needs to transition to a spiritual conversation, I still feel a little bit of that awkwardness, and often that awkwardness might continue for a little bit into this conversation because we're bringing up something that maybe the person that we're talking to isn't quite ready for. And so there's a little bit of awkwardness, all right? So I want you to know that. You got to press through that. And then I want to tell you this. If you will do that and you have a conversation with somebody, it might be short. It could be just a couple minutes. It might be a long, extended conversation where you really have to have the opportunity to really talk through the gospel. And anything in between, at the end of that conversation, I guarantee you, you are going to feel a sense of fulfillment that you maybe never have felt before. And that's what's going to propel you to push through the awkwardness again, right? It's happened over and over and over again for me personally. As I've talked with many people and encouraged them to get over the awkwardness, push through it, they'll share this same story. Sometimes the conversation doesn't even end that well. It's not even that people respond to it, but as you're finished, you sense, I've done what God's called me to do. I've fulfilled part of the purpose that God's called me to do. I have been a witness in this situation, and there's a fulfillment that comes with that. Does that make sense? It's a big part of it. We'll come back and talk about that as well. Okay, so in this session, we will identify why your story is important and how to use our story to assist in reaching others with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to actually write out our personal story. At least I'm going to tell you, kind of encourage you of how we're going to do this. You're not going to have time in this session to do that, but I'd like to get you started with that. And and so that's sort of an overview. If you want to turn in your Bibles, let's start here in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." So why are we doing what we're doing tonight? I'm going to try to help you to prepare for the availability of sharing your story commonly, maybe even expertly, comfortably, with many, many people, you know, over the coming years of your life. Why is it important? Because we each have been commanded to be ready always to give an account to every person that asks us of the hope that lies within us in meekness and fear. So my question for you would be, are you ready right now? Right? Be ready always. And if you're not, we have to help you to be ready. And there's different pieces of it, but I would suggest to you that the most effective first piece of any conversation in helping somebody else know of the hope that lies within you is telling your story, telling of what God has done for you. So why is your story important? Well, 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be ready. Let me give you three things that are in your notes. Number one, our friends are interested, and they really are. Real friends want to understand each other and want to have authentic relationships. If God is important to you, they want to know why. They may not understand it, but they want to know why. So they're interested. Number two, our friends can relate to it. We naturally tend to hang around with people who have interests like ours. And because not always. I mean, we also have, you know, other friends that maybe aren't like us, but you'll have some friends that are like you. And because of that, they're naturally going to be interested in some of the same things that you are, and it's one of the reasons why your story can be most effective with these friends that you have. So don't downplay what Christ has done. Be sensitive to your friend, be sensitive to the story, but our friends can relate to it. Number three, your story is hard to argue with. Chuck Swindoll in his book, Come Before Winter, said, "The skeptic may deny your doctrine or attack your church, but he cannot honestly ignore the fact that your life has been changed." And this is right. Your story is hard to argue with. So telling about, you know, what your church believes, or telling about, you know, your doctrinal position, you'll come up with lots of arguments. You'll almost never have anybody argue with you when you tell them what Jesus has done for you. It's your story. There's no way they can argue with that. So, I want to talk tonight very practically about how to organize your story, and we're going to give a couple specifics of it, and we're actually going to ask somebody to come up here and help me as we try to give an example of this. You guys know what an elevator pitch is? It's the ability to present something of importance to you in a way that is clear and complete within a limited amount of time. And, you know, the whole analogy is, actually, I think this term was started used in the 1990s. And the idea is you're working in a, you know, some corporation, you have this awesome idea, but you can't get to the people that could make the idea happen, and so you strategically place yourself to ride the elevator at the same time the big boss is, and in the time that it takes to get from the first to the, you know, the 25th floor where they're at, you are prepared to make your pitch. Here's my idea. These are the important parts of it. This is why we should do it. So it's called an elevator pitch. It's then talked about in, you know, in other ways. Salespeople talk about this a lot. You might only have a few minutes to tell somebody why this is important, and you're going to lose them after that. So you have to be on point, be able to explain the key parts of this in a very short period of time. Well, I know that this is true in our contacts and our conversations with other people. There will be many times when you're going to have an opportunity, you'll sense the bridge, the Holy Spirit's going to tell it to you, but you're going to have a very short amount of time to kind of pitch the first idea of this. And so I'd like to talk through, can we prepare ourselves so in that time frame, we can give a concise, clear, brief, but compelling mini conversation to somebody that has them walk away saying, wow, God did something amazing. I'm interested in that. So that's what we're talking about here. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 26. I want to actually look through Paul's, we're going to call it an elevator pitch. It's not 15 or 20 seconds. It probably took him a little bit more than that. We could probably read through it in 4 or 5 minutes. And actually, that's more of the idea. I'd really like to talk through with you tonight how you can present your testimony in a 3 to 5 minute span, hitting the really key high points that would help people genuinely understand and be compelling to them. So Paul gives us an example of this. I'm going to try to write down a few things tonight. As we do that, we're going to go ahead and switch to the to this overhead, you guys. So I'm not going to read the whole passage in Acts 26, but I'd like you to follow along. In this chapter, Paul is telling his testimony. And he highlights three points of contact. Three places where he sort of dips into his life and he makes specific comments about where he was and what he was doing and what he was thinking, and it's a story of his testimony, and this is really the model that we're going to use to try to help you think through this on your own. So we have on this sheet, we've got a couple things, personal or points of contact, and if you kind of read across the top of this chart, BC is sort of this idea of who you were, what you're like before Christ. The second, the middle box, is really about conversion. What happened that changed and transformed your life? And then the last box is, you know, we're calling it AD just to kind of differentiate. But what's your life like now? All right? These are really the key points of anybody's testimony if you want it to be effective. What life was like before, what happened that God used to draw me to himself, and then what it looks like now, what's changed, what the transformation has taken place. I want you to see that here in Paul's life. So verses 4 through 11, you can kind of look through them as I talk about it. Here was Paul before Christ. And you'll see a couple things that are sort of summarized in these verses. He was religious. And he was a Pharisee. He was opposed to Christ. He put Christians in prison. He voted for their death. He forced them to deny their faith. All right, all kinds of things. This is exactly what verses 11 through 26 talk about. This was Paul before Christ. Verses 12 through 18 talk about Paul's conversion. Or you can really put in the cross. So this is the story of his conversion, and you can see it verses 12 through 18, right? He's on his way to persecute the Christians that were in Damascus, and then all of a sudden Christ appears to him and appoints him to be his servant and to be the evangelist to the Gentiles. Paul tells this testimony. That's what he's doing in verses 12 through 18. He's talking about his conversion. And in fact, in that place, he brings a real biblical foundation, doctrinal foundation. He talks about what happened is that he received forgiveness of sins and he was set apart by faith in Jesus Christ. He says it in just a few verses. Just a short couple of sentences, but it's the story. I mean, his story is very clear in those verses 12 through 18. And then we have verses 19 through 23. And in verses 19 through 23, Paul talks about what life is like now. And again, you might define it in a couple different ways, but he talks about he's now a preacher. And he's a witness. This is really the third contact with Paul's life. It's after Christ. He preached again that they would repent. He talks about turning to God, living it, proving it with their deeds. All of that shows up if you read through verses 19 through 23. And then in verse 27, we have sort of a concluding question. And Paul's question, I'm not going to write this in there because my writing's so bad anyway, but you can write this. His concluding question is this: King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? That's his question. Verse 27, do you believe the prophets? And then he says, I know you do. I know that you do. I know that you're tracking with me. Do you believe the prophets? It was a convicting, concluding question. And then the last thing in box number 8, I think, is sort of this unifying theme, and I'll actually put this in here, that I think we can find in here. It was a zeal for serving God, which is interesting because this theme runs all through Paul's testimony. BC, before Christ, that zeal for serving God was misplaced and destructive. He was destroying, making havoc of the church we saw this morning. But then AD, after his conversion, that same zeal for serving God was positive, and it was directed for building the church. So this is a model, I think a biblical model, of somebody who shared their faith and did it in a clear way that described who I was before, what Jesus did, and what the result of it. In the next couple pages in your handout, and this was my fault, but I don't think I designed this very well. I wish it flowed a little better. But if you can kind of track, we've got boxes and questions, question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then 7 or 8, that will really help us to flesh out this model that we have here in Paul's testimony. So I'm not really going to ask you to do this right now, but I am going to ask you to do this. It would really, really help you to clarify your testimony. Let me give you a couple of tips. One, this isn't actually on the overhead, but I want to tell you a couple things. If you're saved early in your life, you probably will not have a lot in the area of where were you spiritually before receiving Christ, right? And in that case, you'll want to focus on how life in Christ compares with where you would be without Him. Does that make sense? So maybe if you're saved early, you're not able to say, you know, kind of this series of things in my life. So you want to focus on that. And then also, what other benefits have you experienced since becoming a Christian? You might gear this list to your impact list. So let me give you just a couple of story tips. First of all, in the theme, the central issue in our lives that shows contrast in your spiritual outlook before and after knowing Christ. So a problem before Christ that's resolved in your life after Christ. So that would be the big theme. Middle point of contact is really this conversion step. And I'd tell you this way, we need to keep it simple, clear, and repeatable. Simple, clear, and repeatable. And again, the more you think through and sort of hone in on the key parts of your story, the more effective you'll find this to be. I could tell you, I was asked to do a process very similar to this when I was in seminary. So a long time ago, I've told you before, seminary class on evangelism with Jason Ormiston's dad, Lee Ormiston, just a fantastic teacher in this area. I've used that same story that he really forced us to kind of hone in during that time, I mean, over and over and over again in the last year since then. So you want to be able to keep it simple, clear, and repeatable, and actually it'll help you to sort of discipline yourself in how you communicate it written. So the idea is that this would be understandable and something they can do, right? So clear enough that they would know that as you talk through your story, they're able to say, well, I could do that too. This is the step of conversion that I need. This is what I've been missing. I have a story, but I don't have that point, right? I don't have that step. So, and I'd even tell you this, even if you cannot pinpoint the day of your conversion, if I had a little bit more time with Don, I maybe would have talked through this in front of you guys. I think, Don, I was tracking with you that you maybe can't pinpoint the day of your conversion. You should be able to give the content of what you realized and asked for as you open your life to Christ's forgiveness and leadership. A lot of people are able to say, I know at this point in time, I prayed, I received Christ. I think there's some people that they know that there was this season of life, very short season of life, where I know I put my faith and trust in Christ. I can't necessarily pinpoint the exact moment, but I know that something changed in that time as I understood the gospel and put my faith in Him. And you want to be able to clarify that. Conclusion is asking for a response, and I'll even give you an example of it, although it's something that you might just take with you because I think it's very effective. A conclusion question might be, can you relate to what I just said? Very helpful for me. I'm telling my story. I'm trying to connect it to where this person might be. And I often ask this question, hey, can you relate to what I just said? It draws somebody in. It forces a conversation. It forces some kind of a decision. They'll almost always say yes in some way. And so it keeps that conversation. So a conclusion, not just telling my story and then you don't know what to do, right? What's next? You want to be able to conclude it with a response. And I think Paul's example is that. And then that gives us a platform for the next step. And then scripture, using the scriptures to support what happened to us. I'd encourage you to think of a key verse that maybe part of your story, part of your conversion, or a phrase that helped you to understand or somehow applies to the situation. It doesn't have to be in this situation. It doesn't have to be a large quantity for every point. There is going to be a point when you're talking through the gospel that you need to support it all biblically. But in your story, it's good to have scriptural support, but it doesn't have to be every point to be able to just say, God used this verse at this time in my life, because the scripture has power, and we want that as a part even of our testimony. And then language, I wish I had more time on this, but I want to tell you this. Words are important. And in my estimation, most Christians that have sort of lived in Christian circles, we lose track of the jargon that we use, the words that we use that don't necessarily make sense. They're sort of code words, and they don't make sense to other people that didn't grow up, you know, in the church or in your kind of a church. So everything that you can do to avoid Christian cliches or confusing terms, terms like you got to get into the Word or make Jesus your Lord and Savior, some of those things don't always make sense. So you want to translate into words that they can understand. I don't think that I know that I'm not perfect on this, but you'll probably hear me, if you think about this, even as I'm preaching, you'll probably hear me avoid a lot of cliche terms. I'll use other words that maybe aren't always, a lot of times I don't even use the word saved or salvation, depending on who that I'm talking to, because it doesn't necessarily make sense to them. I want to talk about other kinds of words that are more explanatory of what's happening in their life. And we're going to talk about saving and salvation. I don't mean that. But we need to define them as we talk about them. rather than just throw them out, assuming somebody's going to understand that. If you'll listen to me, you'll probably pick up on that a little bit. I try to be careful on those kinds of words, especially in public settings where I'm talking to a larger group of people. So as you think through it, be careful about your language. I'm going to tell you this, and this is going to be significant, on length, be brief and to the point. You'll have to train yourself to be able to share your story briefly. There will be times when you can share your story in 20 minutes and 30 minutes, but far more effective if you can share it concisely in 3 or 4 minutes. And if you can share it concisely in 3 or 4 minutes with key points, it'll give you a platform to share more later on. But you'll have to train yourself to do that. By the way, this is good experience for us because we would like to have more and more testimonies on Sunday morning, and we'd like you to keep them to 3 or 4 minutes. It's hard, right, Chris? It is difficult to do that. It takes a lot of discipline to do that. But if you work at it, you'll be able to do it and be able to do that in a concise way, and it's very effective. It'll force you to key in on really key spots. It'll help you at different times. So, what that does too, sure, if you keep it short, it gives your friend a chance to ask questions and maybe add to the conversation. You want to make that possible, right? If you're able to say it concisely, then you're able to have interaction with them rather than feel like you're just going on at them for, 25 minutes. You might feel like they're interested in that. They may or may not be. But if you're able to say it powerfully in a shorter period of time, then your friends are then able to interact with you and ask questions about that. All of that's helpful. I promise you, all of that's helpful in interactions with unsaved friends. Sequence, and the sequence could be any. You really need to learn to be able to begin and start anywhere in this process. So it might not be that you start with BC. It might be that you start later on and you're able to bring all this through. So it doesn't always have to be in the exact same order. And then putting others first, focus on your friend and his needs, emphasize the parts that relate to him. This is one of the things that that maybe surprised me in my own personal evangelism as God gave me, a number of opportunities in my late 20s to share my faith, that as I became more and more comfortable, that the way and the conversations that I had just really took on a very distinct form depending on who I was talking to. And I really sensed each time now, the Holy Spirit's leading this. I'm not giving them some rote, formula that I learned somewhere and I'm just kind of spouting out. Man, I just feel this over and over again. I'm always amazed how the Holy Spirit brings passages and texts and examples into my mind as I'm talking with somebody I may not have even thought of them before. It is clearly the Holy Spirit's work. But that happens as you become more and more comfortable and familiar with the foundations of your testimony, foundations of the gospel. So emphasize the parts that can relate to them.